Any cats in the building, look out. All right, so, hello? This is where we're going this morning. We're back in Titus. I have two verses that I'm going to unpack for you this morning. And we're going to take a little time. I have a lot of slides in those two verses. We're going to kind of dissect them a little bit. Little English grammar lesson. It'll help you to learn how to study your Bible. It'll help you a little bit to see these two verses. We need to do that because those two verses there are easily misinterpreted and could easily mislead someone as to what they are doing or what they're saying. So we need to take just a few seconds, kind of dissect them, show them the interpretation of them is right here. It's right before your eyes. If you have a Bible, I see many Bibles open. I can find this for you. I can tell you the page. So let me just do that for you because this is very, very important. This is the Word of God. Page what? 1800 in that brown pew Bible. So, a little classroom, 15 minutes, 10 minutes of classroom, and then we will go, this is why it's important to us. This is what it really means to you and I. And I'm just going to tell you, it is very personal. It is very powerful. We need to know this. We need to get this. So, that's what we're going to do. Titus chapter 1, verse 15 and 16. Before we get to any slides, I'm going to read it to you, and we'll talk about it, but before we do that, I need to pray. Lord, I am asking you now to help us and to help me explain your scripture accurately and lovingly, and that you would apply it to our lives. We need it. We need this truth, and so I pray for your help, for your guidance, your blessing. Lord, I pray each person would walk out of here today encouraged by it and able to share it with others. But Lord, it's yours. It's your word. This is the word of God. We ask your blessing in Jesus' name. Amen. So, classroom, class is in session. Last week, if you remember last week, we talked about elders in the church being kind of guardians of sound doctrine. Elders in our church watch out over us. They're good. They're good for us. And they keep sound teaching, sound doctrine, sound faith alive here. They keep us on track. They guard what's going on, what's being taught, the things that are coming in. And the reason is that it said there are many insubordinate, empty talkers. There are many things coming into the church, teachings all around us coming in, wanting to invade our space and culture, it says. The Cretans are liars, evil, and lazy gluttons. They don't really want to do anything either. So they're ripe for all these strange teachings. And elders in the church are going to be appointed that are going to be guardians over biblically sound teaching and faith. So we learned that, and then we came to verse 15. We stopped there. This is verse 15 and 16. To the pure, all things are pure, but to the defiled and unbelieving, nothing is pure. But both their minds and their consciences are defiled. They profess to know God, but deny him by their works. They're detestable, disobedient, unfit for any good work. So there is our scripture for today. To the pure, all things are pure, but to the defiled and unbelieving, nothing is pure. Now, you could take this a little wrong, and it has been misinterpreted to say, to the pure, to the believers, by grace, the forgiven, everything is pure. I can do whatever I want because it's okay because the grace of God, everything's pure, everything's okay. And that's not what this is saying at all. So we're going to break these two verses down. I'm going to teach them to you, and you're going to be so surprised. You're going to be so surprised in just a little bit how good this is for us and how personal this becomes, okay? So with that in mind, with it in mind that there's a church there that they're setting up deacons and elders, and they're going to set up this structure to guard sound teaching. The culture is wild. The teachers are bringing in all kinds of things. With that said, he says this statement, to the pure, all things are pure. Now, here's something. Here's your grammar. Here's what you're going to look for. There are three buts in these two verses. They are key for us. For you to understand what he's talking about, there are three buts in these two verses that are critical for us to understand. So, first slide, he's going to talk about to the pure. What is pure? What is pure? Pure means clean or without admixture. You know what pure is? Pure gold is all gold, right? There's nothing in it. Pure organic peanut butter is all peanuts, right? Nothing in it. It's pure. It's clean. It's clean of foreign substances. That's what pure means. It means clean or without admixture. It is just all that, all gold, all peanut butter, all whatever you want, all Jesus. So, to the pure, to those who are pure and clean, all things are pure. But to the defiled and unbelieving, nothing is pure. So, pure is clean without admixture. Here's our sentence, here's our phrase. To the pure, all things are pure. But to the defiled and unbelieving, nothing is pure. Now, do you see in that what he added to the second part? So we have a but. Go ahead and flip to the next screen, Mark. See what he did there? To the pure, all things are pure, but to the defiled and unbelieving. He added to this second part after the but. There's our key. There's our but. Pure and defiled are the opposites. That's clean. That's pure. This is not. This is stained, marred, mixed, defiled. You take a really good jar of organic peanut butter and you put jelly in it and you call it goober jelly. And I'm telling you, that's defiled jelly right there. I won't touch that with a 10-foot pole. That is defiled. That is this. So these two are opposites. But you see what he added to the second part? And unbelieving. So we could say to the pure and believing, all things are pure. But to the defiled and unbelieving. So let's just add this right in here. This is where the author is going. The defiled are the unbelieving. They're defiled and unbelieving. They're mixed, unclean. They're unbelievers. And I'm speaking to the pure and believers. Okay? So we've got that. Now we know who the pure are. The pure are believers in Jesus Christ and Jesus Christ alone. They're purely Jesus people, not mixed. They're believers. Next. What is all things? All things are pure, but nothing is pure. What are all things? To the pure, all things are pure. Can I do anything I want? No, no. Look what he did with the but here. But, but nothing is pure. But, again, both mind and conscience are defiled. So, next screen. Conscience. He added that. Did you get that? All things, to the pure, all things are pure, but to the defiled and unbelieving, nothing but their minds and consciences are defiled. So he added mind and consciences to the nothing or all things. Now, here's a great word for you to know. The word conscience. And this is the meaning below it. It is co-perception or a joint knowing. So, if you look at this word right here, see the word science? That's knowing. That's knowledge. And this con, this prefix, is co or joint. So what that tells me, you and I have two ways of perceiving truth and reality. One is right here, my mind. I see things, I hear things, and my mind goes, and my conscience is my co-perceiver joint knowing mechanism. You and I have two things working together in us that perceive truth and reality. It's our mind and our conscience. You are well familiar with the person who does something to the letter of the law and goes home and goes, man, my conscience is just not sitting right with this. I know that what I did was perfectly okay according to the letter of the law, but it is not sitting right with me. That is your co-perceiver. That is your joint knower. It's the second witness. God has blessed us and gifted us with two avenues of knowing and perceiving truth and reality. Here and here. Next one. Next slide, please. So, all things are pure, and we will take that, what he added after the but down here. All things are pure, both mind and conscience, to the pure. All things are pure. To the pure, all things, both mind and conscience. But to the defiled, nothing is pure. Both mind and conscience are defiled. Interesting. So he's not talking about what I can or can't do at all. He's just saying to those of us who are pure, who are clean, who are all in Jesus, everything, our mind and our conscience, everything we perceive, everything we take in is purely Jesus. Everything we take in, our mind and our conscience is clean and driven by Jesus. But to the unbeliever, the mixer, their minds and their consciences are all mixed up. They're mixed with other thoughts, other perceptions, other things. Their mind and their conscience, all things. Everything they perceive from two different viewpoints, or maybe three. Every way they look at life, everything they look at, everything they do and perceive to the unbelieving and defiled, everything has a mixture of things playing into it. Right? Wrong? Guilt? No? Yeah? Should I? Everything is not to the pure. To us, everything we perceive, everything we take in goes through Jesus. Doom. That's the rock. That's the way we are. Everything I do in life, it goes through Jesus, good, bad, right, or wrong. And I perceive it both ways because the Holy Spirit works through my conscience. Too, I have two perceptors. And I'm purely Jesus' person. What else do we have, Mark? We got any more? To the pure and believing, all things, mind and conscience are pure. Any more? Another one? To the defiled and unbelieving, nothing is pure. Both mind and conscience are defiled. So, that's our grammar lesson for this morning. I hope you have a Bible in front of you to be able to see and follow. To the pure, to the clean, to the unmixed. And that fits this context perfectly. Because there are insubordinate teachers of all kinds bringing in other things. Jewish myths, commands of people, religions of this sort, religions of that sort. Your pleasures, culture's pleasures, culture's a mess. Culture's liars, evil beasts, lazy gluttons. They're just going to bring their laziness and their craziness into this equation. So he's saying to those people with this mix of culture and pleasure and whatever else is driving their boat, everything's defiled because in their heart they can't sort out anything. Their mind and their conscience is so mixed with peanut butter and goober jelly, it is just nasty. You can't come to peace. You can't find peace. You can't find truth and rest. You can't find your rock because there is so much playing into it. One day you're at peace and the next day you're at not. And you need to put your rest and your peace on Jesus. Are you pure in Jesus? That's the question. To the pure, everything is pure. My mind and my conscience are all just going one direction. Jesus. And I can find peace. I can find rest. I can find forgiveness. If my conscience is saying, yeah, you're okay to do that, but man, you really screwed up. That wasn't right, and you know it. Now go back and make it right. I can find my peace and my rest because Jesus is a crazy forgiver. He is a crazy guide who's going to bring me back because he wants me to have peace and rest in him. But if I'm a mixer, if I'm a defiled, if my mind and conscience are defiled, man, one day I'm up, the next day I'm down. One day I'm guilty, the next day I'm okay. She said this, but he said that. The pastor said this, that this book said that. And I've got this and this teacher, and there is no rest in that house. I'm just going to tell you, there's no rest in that heart. That's what this is saying. That's exactly what he's saying. So what do we do with that? Well, first we look at ourselves and we go, does my soul have rest? Does my conscience have rest? Does my mind have rest? Do I have a rock? Do I have a compass? Or am I just, is my soul and my emotions and my mind, are they just tossed? Are they in the rinse cycle, and they're just going like this all the time, and I can't seem to land on my feet? One day I think I'm doing good, but the next day I'm not, and I'm just like, is that you? Or do you know where to go to get things square, to get things right? That's our first question, right? Here's the interesting thing about this passage. The mixed, the defiled. To the pure, all things are pure, but to the defiled and unbelieving, nothing is pure. Both their minds and their consciences are just a storm. They profess to know God, but they deny him by their lives, by their works. They're detestable, disobedient, and unfit for any good work, and they profess to know God. What? Isn't that something? No political correctness here. You are mixed. Your emotions, your soul are just constantly doing this, constant upheaval in you, in your mind. You're teaching other people, you don't need to just follow Jesus, just Jesus alone. Look at culture. Haven't you heard this teacher? Haven't you heard this song? Haven't you done? You can't just park here and on Jesus. I know God too. Mm-mm. If you're a mixer of faiths and religions and culture, you are defiled and unbelieving. You profess to know God, But you deny him by the way you live it out, by your works. They profess to know God, but deny him by not living it out his way, by not living the life. That's nuts. So what do we need to know? What do we need to know? We need to know this. Begin this way. A verbal profession of Jesus and God is not enough for us to park our bus there. A verbal profession of Jesus God is not enough for us to set up camp in their yard. It's not enough. It's not enough for anybody. It starts there, no question. If you confess with your mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart God raised him from the dead, you'll be saved. Scripture, it starts there. But this says this, and you know this passage by now, for the grace of God has appeared bringing salvation for all people and training us to renounce ungodliness and worldly passions, and training us to live self-controlled, upright, and godly lives. Training us and to purify for himself a people for his own. The same grace, the same saving grace. Grace, grace, God's grace, greater than all my sin. That grace also is training us. It's repentance all the time. Those are participles, which means Terry is a professional repenter. I am saved, and that same grace is now training this old dog new tricks all the time. Training me to renounce ungodliness and worldly passions, and training me every day to live godly lives. Purifying me for Jesus only, Jesus only, Jesus only. That same saving grace trains us. It's training grace. It's teaching grace. It's waiting grace. It's redeeming grace. I've been set free from lawlessness. The cell door is open. How long am I going to sit in that cell? The door is open, son. Come on out. Go. Enjoy your life. No, I love it here. Thank you. How long am I going to stay chained up to that sin? I'm not, because it's training me. It's released me, and it's training me to stand against that and go for that and to purify myself. I follow Jesus and Jesus only. I follow his word. It's the guide for my mind and my conscience. And the Holy Spirit will bear me witness. A mere verbal profession, I believe in God and Jesus like you do. Yep, that's it. That is not enough. I hope you say that to me. But I will soon be able to see your life being trained. You will start jettisoning sin and ungodliness, and you will start pushing that way toward godliness, holiness, right living, the Word of God. I'll see a hunger for the Word of God growing in you. Saving grace is training grace. No one can say, I don't think I can follow through. If I give my life to Christ, I don't think I can do it. No, you can't. But the grace that's going to save you is the grace that's going to pick you up and walk you through. That's the Word of God. That's the Word of God. So, if someone verbally professes God, Jesus, I say, let's go. Let's see. Let's train together. Let's go to the gym together. right? Because it's training too. So we will partner side by side and walk away from sin and walk to Christ. And it will take time. It's an ongoing lifetime process. But there's no question what direction we are heading. No question what direction we're heading. So, point number one there, you can't just listen to what comes out of their mouth. We want that. We want that prayer of profession. But there's so much more. That's day one. That's wedding day. But guess what? You got to live with her, buddy. You married her, now you got to live with her, right? And that's a big different world right there. Point number two. This context is talking about leaders, teachers, people coming in. If they're coming in with a mixed doctrine, a mixed teaching, if you're turning on your radio or your TV to a teacher of a mixed doctrine or teaching, it's not sound, healthy doctrine like these elders are going to protect. If it's Jesus and if it's like the Pope said, you know, we're all children of God. It don't matter what religion you're in. We're all children of God. If that's what you're hearing, that's mixed. That's defiled and unbelieving. And you want to be very careful because Paul just said, silence these teachers. Turn your radio off. Turn your TV off to those who will bring in. They will be insubordinate to this. They're empty talkers. They're just talking vague, open religion. They're deceptive. They must be silenced since they're upsetting whole families by teaching for shameful gain, teaching for money, popularity, authority, what they should not teach. Silence them. Turn them off. Be very, very careful. The leadership, the high-profile pastors, teachers, songwriters, anybody today who's going to write a book, have a blog, you better find out what they're teaching. Are they mixed with all kinds of unhealthy doctrine, ungodliness? Is ungodliness okay to them? I would say they can't be trusted. Because their mind and their conscience is defiled. Their motives, their drive is not purely Jesus. Their motive and their drive, their conscience and their mind, it can't square with each other. They will tell us one thing one day and another thing another day. They may stand here on this issue 3 years ago, but now they stand here on this issue and they're just constantly like this. And I can't trust that person. I can trust the person that stands on this and on Jesus, on sound doctrine, sound teaching, sound faith. I will trust you. I will not trust the mixer, the defiled. I cannot bank on them. I'm not giving them my heart. I'm not giving them my mind. I'm not giving them my peace. They're all over the map. Silence. That. And this much I know. They will lay guilt on us that makes no sense. There's no rhyme or reason to it. They will guilt trip us. And their mind and their conscience is defiled, and it's probably for shameful gain. It's probably for the money. Happens all the time in America, doesn't it? Sow a seed of faith and God will for you. Send in that seed offering to us. And God will. Since when are we paying God to do something? I thought He paid for us. It's all over this country. And if you won't find it there, and you will, I'm finding it in all kinds of high-profile musicians, leaders, sharing platforms and stage with other ones of totally different doctrines and beliefs, all for the money and popularity to sell some more albums, some more CDs, some more videos. It seems like they have no fence around their doctrinal yard at all. They just wander the streets into everybody's yard to sell books and DVDs because they're defiled. And I can't trust them. And they will lay guilt on us that we can't even figure out if we don't send them, buy them, believe them. If what I thought was wrong, what the Bible teaches is wrong, was there today, why are they apologizing it for them this year? What is it? Right or wrong? They can't. They're defiled. They're so mixed. They don't have a compass. Don't trust them. Don't give your heart to them. But to that person, that leader or leaders who stand here and aren't afraid to speak up, you can trust that person because they're always going to take you here. They're always going to go back and go, well, let me show you why. Here. They're not going to lay guilt on you. They're going to help you to get rid of your guilt trip. It's a big difference today. We want to get rid of our guilt. Jesus died to get rid of our guilt. And if we have guilt, He's the answer. He says, yeah, let's get rid of it quick, now. They don't want to lay guilt on us. I can trust that person who is purely a leader of God. And a leader of the Word of God. The truth is taught. He must hold firm to the trustworthy Word as taught. It's the same old truth. The same old truth. Be careful where you park your heart. Be careful where you park your mind and your conscience. They go together. They work together. Be careful of what you're listening to. Who you're watching. What book you're reading. If they start flip-flopping on issues, or what's the big one today is they are not speaking about that issue anymore. Terry and I were on line last night and found a high-profile teacher that probably every person in here would know. A high-profile teacher who wrote a book 20 or so years ago, DVD series. And in that book is about two paragraphs on sexual immorality, homosexuality, saying that if you're caught in this sin, Jesus wants to set you free from it. And today, that author has deleted that portion from their book, taken it out. And they're not going to talk about it. They just don't want to talk about that subject anymore. Go check my doctrinal statement. I don't want to talk about it. So their answer is a no answer. They've changed it, taken it out, and now they're embracing and running with that crowd of people, and so we're not going to talk about that anymore. I just don't want to talk about it. It's a no answer. That's the big way today. Rather than standing up and saying, I believe homosexuality is a sexual sin, sexual immorality, like adultery, like fornication, like sex before marriage, like anything else, but I love you. I love you, man. I just disagree with you totally on this issue. Instead of doing that, we're just not going to talk about it no more. I'm going to take that out of my books and I'm going to apologize for that. You need to be very careful. You need to be very careful when you're reading, watching someone who starts doing that. That's saying, I'm not living my life teaching my teachings on the Word of God because I've just changed it. entirely, 180 degrees, it's okay. Or I don't want to talk about it. No, it's here. It's here. Find those teachers that go, look, let's just go to the Word of God. Let's just go to Jesus. And finally, man, I am this is my final and third point. Wow, it's only 11:30. I gotta stretch this out, man. We got a long way to go. I want you to get used to this. Listen, I've been here long enough to know there are some people here that I love. There are some people here that I love. And I already know your conscience is going through the rinse cycle. I already know you're guilty one day and fine the next, and you're not sure if up's down or down's up from one day to the next. Because there are things going in your ear from this person or that person, from a friend, a well-meaning friend, a family member, a well-meaning family member. I used to go to this church, but now I go to that church. And there's just things going in, and your conscience is a train wreck. I already know that. And so I speak to you from a heart full of love to say, let's fix that. Jesus died for us to have a pure conscience and mind. Let's make Him our compass. Let's make the Word as taught our rock. Let's take our guilty conscience to Him now, today, and go, Jesus, my mind's saying one thing, my conscience is another, and I'm a stinking mess, and I so want peace in my heart. I so want peace with You. Some of us have a history that we have not forgiven ourselves of. We have not dealt with. We do not know what to do with it, quite honestly. It's a train wreck. And you're still carrying a guilty conscience over your history, over what happened 5 years ago, 10 years ago. Because I tell you, that's why Jesus died. Jesus died. Let me see if I can find it for you. Bet I can. For if the blood of goats and bulls and the sprinkling of a defiled person with the ashes of a heifer, if that can sanctify for the purification of the body, how much more will the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered Himself without blemish to God, how much more will He purify our conscience from dead works to serve the living God? See, it comes in. It comes in when we give our life to Christ, when we just surrender. Say, Jesus, You are all I need. You are my conscience guide and owner. You will guide my mind. You will guide my heart. Everything is Yours, Jesus. There's Spirit action that comes in that can actually clean and release that guilt from your conscience. And any day of the week when you happen to screw up, if you're at all like me, it may be several days of the week, you just go right back to Him and say, man, is my conscience hurting today? Jesus, come on, I give it to You. What do I do? Because my mind and my conscience are like playing gymnastics with each other here. I don't even know what to do. I think I know what to do, but I don't know what to do. My mind says go. My heart says stay. I don't know what is going on. Jesus, I purely follow You. Let Him fix that. Here is the reasonable thing for you and I to do. This is the reasonable thing for you to do. I appeal to you, therefore, brother, by the mercy of God, to present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your spiritual or reasonable act of worship. Do not be conformed to this world. Do not be conformed to this world. Do not let it in. But be transformed by the renewal of your mind, that by testing you may discern what is the will of God, what is the good and acceptable and perfect will of God. And that's what you want to know. That is what you want to know. When your conscience and your mind are playing gymnastics and you're guilty, no, I'm not guilty. He said I'm guilty. She said I'm not guilty. And my conscience is a train wreck. You want to know the will of God. That's what you want to know. What do I do? The answer is the reasonable, rational, spiritual worship answer is throw yourself on the altar of Jesus and just say, I am yours. I am a living sacrifice. I am 100% yours, Jesus. Clean this mess up. That's what you do. And until you do, you will be a mess. Until you do, he's the only one that can sort it out and bring the two together. And I so want you to have a clean conscience and a clear mind, purely, purely anchored on the rock of Jesus Christ and the Word as taught. As taught. So, to the pure, everything's pure. Your heart, your conscience, your mind, your motives, it's pure. It's Jesus. To the defiled and unbelieving, man, it's a train wreck. It's a train wreck. You don't know whether you're coming or going, do you? I'm asking you today. If that's you, present your body a living sacrifice. Jesus, your verbal profession of faith means very little right now. Your verbal profession, I believe in God. I believe in Jesus. I believe that. That's not holding much water right now when your life and your conscience and your mind is like this and you can't even hardly function right. You're unfit for any good work. Detestable and disobedient. You know what disobedient means? Unchanging, rigid, unable to move. You will not change your life. You will not let your life be changed. I'm asking you, out of so much love, you can't even figure it out right now. I want this room to have a room full of clear conscience, clear thinking mind, know the will of God. And the only way is for you to present your body a living sacrifice to Him. Throw it all in. It's all in. Jesus, I'm yours. You guys got a song for us? I'm just going to ask you, what are we singing today, guys? Worthy, you are worthy. King of kings, Lord of lords, you are worthy. Holy, you are holy. King of kings, Lord of lords, you are holy. Jesus, you are Jesus. King of kings, Lord of lords, you are Jesus. Is he? Is he? Is he worthy? Is he the only one that is? Is he your rock and your guide and your compass and the peace of your soul? And if they're singing this and you need to come up here and get things right, I won't bug you if you don't want me to. I won't come up. I won't talk to you. You and the Lord, just do business. If you want me to help you, I will. But there is no one here that needs to go home with a guilty, messed up conscience and mind today, not knowing what direction you're going. The jail cell's open, man. Walk out of it. Walk out of it. Present your body a living sacrifice. He'll take it every time. He will never cast out someone who gives their life to Him. He promised in His Word, I will never, never, never turn you away. You come to me. You come to me.